This is the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show, presented by the Bill Marsh Auto Group on Up North Sports Radio. Rich Calkins in studio here today. We have JJ running the controls this morning, and it is finals weekend here, the final weekend of high school football, and joining us right out of the gates from 7-4 Sports is Harrison Beebe. And Harrison, you're down there at Ford Field, or at least you were earlier, and we got to see what Traverse City Central could do against a very good Warren D. LaSalle team. And I tell you what, Warren D. LaSalle absolutely came out and they dominated in that game.
Yeah, I wish it could be a little more, you know, excited to talk about this one as far as an X's and O's and a back and forth game that, quite frankly, a lot of people predicted. I think a lot of state sports writers and high school football fans were kind of really getting to know this Traverse City Central team through the run. And after a while, I think a lot of people convinced themselves this was going to be maybe one of the best games of the weekend. Unfortunately, a 34-0 lead at the half pretty much sealed up the state title for De La Salle just, you know, 24 minutes into the ball game. But I tell you what, though, to see Traverse City Central on that stage, you know, I kind of even include the players and the team into that this week, since I'm a Traverse City Central alum myself. You know, I think a lot of people in the town probably thought a run for West or Central post-split in 1997 that was going to be almost impossible to do. And that Trojan team showed us, not only did they make the run a year ago to the semis, but then they did one further and got to the finals this year. It just goes to show for future generations of either school, hey, this is still possible and obtainable, even if our school size isn't over 2,000 enrolled students.
Yeah, no question about it, Harrison. Lots of things that the Trojans can be very excited about. I mean, they had a phenomenal season. You can't take anything away from that at all. Let's be honest, this Warren D. LaSalle team, I watched every snap, they really look like one of the best teams in the entire state.
Oh, yeah. And that was kind of the consensus around Ford Field. It's like, yeah, Traverse City Central no doubt wishes they could have played better, but you had a feeling from both sides of the ball that De La Salle was not going to be beat. And their offensive plays were impressive. I was actually kind of surprised Central let up some of the plays they did for those touchdowns. But what more impressed me from De La Salle was just their shutdown of Central's offense.
Yeah.
Josh Burnham could do nothing on the ground. You know, in the second half, they got some running scores, but you know, for the most part, in the first half, they were limited to, I think, like four first downs. It really wasn't much production on offense. And it just really plugging the gap. They weren't even that big of a team either. It was just plugging the gaps and being quick to make the stops that just really showed, okay, that team executed its game plan to perfection. And Josh Burnham, Carson Bordeaux, Reed Seabase, and this amazing offense that's been lighting up scoreboards all year was, you know, going to have to be limited to 14 for an entire game. So hats off to De La Salle for showing why they make that game basically year in and year out, kind of in the last 5-10 years. And, you know, Traverse City Central now has that caveat. You get there once, you get that itch for the program. You get all those younger kids who are going to be a part of the program in the future who hopefully went down to that game yesterday and get that, you know, sense of what that's like. And, you know, they start planning now for, hey, that's going to be us in 6 years, 8 years, 12 years, and we're going to represent Traverse City on that grand stage and hopefully avenge that loss against De La Salle in the future.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Harrison. Again, Harrison Beebe from 7-4 Sports joining us. And there were two things that really stood out to me in that game, Harrison. Now, you mentioned one of them, that dominant defense of De La Salle. Their quickness of their line was able to shoot the gaps of the offensive line of Central all day long, and they were in the backfield and taking down Josh Burnham and Seabase and guys like that, like you said, stopping Bordeaux. But also, the performance of the junior quarterback, Drogosh, from De La Salle. That kid, he played in the state finals last year as a sophomore.
Mm-hmm.
They lost that game. But, man, that kid, I tell you what, really had an outstanding performance yesterday.
Yeah, and I mean, that was the chip going against Central as well that, you know, I guess from our perspective in Northern Michigan, we didn't really think about a lot. But, yeah, those guys last January were in that same spot and came up short. So you know that they were going to do everything in their power to flip that loss from a year ago to Mona Shores. And yeah, that Drogosh kid is I mean, obviously, we've seen a quarterback dictate pace in football all year round with Mr. Burnham. But, yeah, Drogosh himself put on a show, and that's right. What happens at the state finals. You make moments like that, and you're going to get remembered forever, at least in the Warren De La Salle community. And that's what he did yesterday, for sure, with some of his rushing QB runs and amazing throws to get his receivers in the end zone.
Yeah, he truly was a dual threat quarterback. And some of the things they were talking about on the TV was that he can run a 4.5 40. He's got decent size. He's tall. He's still got to put some more weight on. But that kid, I mean, legitimately, that kid we're going to see at the next level, no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm. And it's games like that impress the college coaches at the next level. It's like, you excel at that. It's one thing to dominate a team midway through the regular season. Yeah, that's impressive. But you do it at Ford Field against a Traverse City Central team that was projected to hang right with you. I mean, that stands out to people. So, right. Yeah, wish it could have gone a little better for Central. And Josh basically said as such in the post-game interview, and Coach Sugars as well, harping on the fact that they let certain situations get away from them and just really couldn't get the ball moving in the first half. You take the positives of the experience of all the teams that compete in all the state tournaments and all the divisions. Only 16 of them get to play at Ford Field every year, and they were one of them. So,
yeah, for sure. Oh, no doubt about it. Certainly, a positive on the entire year, for sure. When you're in that moment, and I saw some of the post-game comments by Josh Burnham, of course, who's going to Notre Dame this next year. Very emotional were all those kids. And you understand it. I mean, this was a senior-laden team that was, very good. They knew that this was going to be, their shining moment as far as for this entire class, that they had a potential to be there at Ford Field. And they just came up short. And Coach Sugars, like you said, we're going to have him on the show here in about 15 minutes. But still, they didn't play their best at the moment here on the biggest stage. But there's just so many positives to take away from this season.
Right, and obviously that's hard to identify in the immediate future right afterwards. You see those guys on the field with their heads down and no doubt wishing they could have changed a few things to maybe make the game a little different. But at the end of the day, what they accomplished in 2020 and 2021 yes. Is going to go down in Traverse City Central history for so many reasons, mainly in my opinion being because they did it after the school split. And yes. They did something that a lot of people were probably questioning if that would ever happen. But, I mean, just to show what kind of an impact this had, I graduated in 2005, so that's 16 years ago. I had several of my old 05 classmates that I know of were in the crowd yesterday at the game watching the team here in 2021. These current players were, 5 years old when we graduated?
Right.
So that just goes to show, how special that was to even kids of my generation. Yes, I'm there because I work for a TV station that covers that school. But, friends of mine from high school who, probably haven't gone to a Central game outside of maybe a rare Patriot game here and there in years, made the trip, the downstate trip, or one of my friends came from Chicago to be at that game. So that shows the commitment to this program, generations, and that's only going to continue. And that's the case with every football program in Northern Michigan. We know those legacy fanhoods and players always coming back to see the old teams is always going to be there. And that's kind of the uniqueness of, especially high school sports. You see it in college sports a little too, but especially high school sports, those same colors and that same school pride always rings true no matter how old you are.
Yeah, absolutely, Harrison. You nailed it. I mean, especially it seems that way in Northern Michigan, when you have these schools that make these deep runs, it's like you said, kids that went to school, 20, 30, even 40 years ago, and all of a sudden mm-hmm. they're coming out because the word will spread quickly about how well this team is doing and all that, and the people literally come out of the woodwork and they really rally around their teams if they ever put that uniform on before or just they were, graduated from that school. It's really a very unique thing.
Yeah, and it's one of those moments, and obviously it was special for me being an alum of the school as well. My old athletic director John Sonneman was on the field watching the game, so it's just kind of one of those full circle moments. You see all these people in the Trojan community. Amy Ream is still the athletic trainer there. She was my athletic trainer when I ran cross country for the Trojans, so it's in a weird way it's that family element that's still there even all these years later.
Yeah, for sure. Now, I don't know if you stuck around and watched any more games at all, Harrison, or if you guys did your reports and then headed back north. But to close out the evening, the Division IV game was really quite entertaining.
Yeah, that is going to be a game that's talked about for state finals history for years. I'm still in Detroit. My sister lives right down the road in Grosse Pointe.
Oh, cool.
Ford Field, so I'm here for the holiday weekend. But I was following along with that game at the end. Obviously, I think Hudsonville Unity broke the single season scoring record for points, I heard, in the middle of that one.
Yes.
And then in the process, those two together broke the highest scoring. Was it the highest scoring football game in Michigan?
Yeah, I believe.
And then in the process, Chelsea comes back from 28 down to win a historic Division IV state championship, which is just surreal.
I mean, Harrison, I'm watching that game. This game went all the way till about 11:15 at night, but it was so captivating because this Hudsonville Unity Christian team, they could score at will. They were unbelievable. They had athletes all over the place, and like you said,
that beat Cadillac a few weeks
ago.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. 20, you know, and they were up to, they were one score away from having a running clock in the second half. I mean, that's how far they were ahead of this Chelsea team. But this Chelsea team got turnovers in the fourth quarter, like three or four of them late, and end up rallying and winning 55-52. Like you said, 107 points total scored in this game. It was a remarkable game. It was just, I mean, I really felt bad for the Unity Christian team because they gave up that big lead. But for this Chelsea team to never give up and still think they had a chance, it was amazing to watch.
Well, and you say that, you know, on a day like today, who feels worse, Unity Christian or Traverse City Central, based on their performance? But you know what that game shows is that even in an example of the Division II game where you're trailing 34-0, which, yes, is a little more of a comeback than 28 points down, but it just goes to show you're never really out of a football game, even in the state finals. Like, there's still always a potential to get back into one of those games. Even if a team kind of gives up on themselves after going down 3-4 scores, that just goes to show that even the highest scoring offense in the history of Michigan high school football can be, you know, can have a comeback put on them.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Okay, Harrison, anything else you want to mention here before we get going?
You know, it's sad to see the season kind of come to an end, but obviously we know in 9 short months it'll be right back. And in the meantime, I think we have a few other sports we can kind of keep some tabs on as well.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And we really appreciate you joining us most weeks here on 101.1 Up North Sports Radio to go over all the football games. We'll be taking care of some basketball scores throughout the upcoming weeks here, both boys and girls. So we hope to continue this partnership, Harrison, and where you guys can join us either on Friday or Saturday or both. By the way, we appreciate all the time you give us.
Oh, for sure. Rich, where's your partner in crime today? Where's he at?
Well, he just happens to be wandering around, I believe, somewhere in the greater Ann Arbor area. He hasn't said anything to me officially, but it was kind of conspicuous that all of a sudden he was heading downstate this weekend for when there happens to be a big game in Ann Arbor. He was a former season ticket holder for many years, so I can't say this officially, but no one's listening right now, so we can talk about it live on the air. But I think he's at the Michigan-Ohio State game.
Well, that I've heard that game's pretty big. It might have some implications going forward. This could potentially be the biggest win for Michigan in 20 years. So we will have to see what happens. What's your prediction for this one?
Oh, man, I tell you, I would love to see Michigan beat Ohio State. But after seeing Ohio State the last couple of weeks and what they're doing and rounding into shape and how explosive that offense is. But we do have a new D coordinator with McDonald that came over from the Ravens in the NFL. So I'm hoping for a squeaker win by Michigan. But unfortunately, my brain has taken over, and I think Ohio State wins by 2 scores.
Yeah, I think I'm a Michigan State guy. I think it'll be closer than last week's game, no doubt.
Yes.
Which, in a way, I don't know if it's a consolation prize for Michigan fans. I know I would take it if we can get it. But, yeah, I think Michigan will get the chance to play in the Rose Bowl this year, but it's still going to be a pretty tough task to try and pull off that upset today.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's, for those two defensive ends with Hutchinson and Ajabo, those guys have to have huge games. And if they can nullify those guys on the, by their blocking schemes and all that and their short, quick passes where they are ineffective, then I think Ohio State, basically Michigan's got to play keep away from Ohio State and not let them control the time of possession. Or Michigan's got to have long drives, move the chains, eat up the clock and play some keep away. If they can do that, then it falls right into their type of game.
And I think they have the potential to do that for the half. Could they do it for 60 minutes?
Exactly.
I think that's what we're all anxious to see.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Harrison, again, appreciate everything. You joining us here this morning, and wish you all the best and safe travels back north.
Sounds good. Thanks, Rich. See you, buddy.
All right, see you, bud. All right, Harrison Beebe from 7-4 Sports there as he was down live down at Ford Field, and he watched the De La Salle TC Central game. And, yes, it didn't turn out exactly the way TC Central wanted to. Again, the final score was De La Salle 41, TC Central 14, with both of Central's touchdowns scoring late in the fourth quarter. But, hey, it's one of the, again, as I mentioned to Harrison, he was they came into this a quarterback, this Drogash kid who runs a 4.5 40, can throw the ball with accuracy. He can throw it deep down the field. This kid, again, he's just a junior, so he's going to be back for De La Salle next year. Really impressive kid. So they just ran into a buzzsaw, and sometimes that happens, but Traverse City Central can be proud of what they did this year as they had an amazing season. And, of course, speaking of that, joining us next will be the head coach of the TC Central Trojans, Eric Sugars, and we'll talk about the game from his perspective. You're listening to the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show presented by the Bill Marsh Auto Group on Up North Sports Radio. Welcome back to the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show presented by the Bill Marsh Auto Group on Up North Sports Radio. Rich Calkins here in studio. JJ is producing today. And joining us now, one of the Northern Michigan representatives that made it all the way down to Ford Field with the TC Trojans, head coach Eric Sugars. And coach, I know the game did not come out the way you wanted it to or how the kids thought it would, but I tell you what, big picture overall, what an amazing season by the Trojans.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Rich. I'm really proud of our players and staff and coaches, man. It was just a great run, great journey. I mean, it's a special group of kids, the best representatives of Traverse City Central that I could have. I love those guys. I'm really proud of them. I'm just kind of reflecting on that today. And, we ran into a better team in De La Salle yesterday. They were very physical, and they had some mismatches. We had some mismatches across the board, and they exploited those. And they played a great football game yesterday, and we didn't play our best game, and we needed to against a high-quality opponent like them. But I couldn't be more proud for, what we accomplished this year, and I'm very thankful for that.
Yeah, for sure, Coach. I mean, you look at the two-year run that you guys had. I mean, last year making it to the semifinals, and then this year all the way to Ford Field. And, I mean, that's just an amazing two-year run with this group of seniors and juniors that you have on this team.
Yeah, it was. We were, as coaches, we were kind of talking about that and reflecting on that on the way back. It's a long bus ride, certainly after a loss. And, sometimes it comes down to matchups, was, if you look back to last year, we were so close to getting the state finals. And I think last year's team probably matched up better with De La Salle's team last year, but we couldn't get by Shores to get that chance. And, we got there this year, and De La Salle's team was a lot better than us. So the matchup didn't work in our favor, but that's the process. That's what you learn and grow. These kids only get that one chance. So that's what I feel sorry and difficult. It's difficult to kind of process that for them, that they don't get another chance. As coaches, we get back to the drawing board and try to do this again. But these kids deserve that opportunity, and I'm proud the way they represented our school and community, as I said, because they're a great group of guys, not only on the field, but certainly off the field. And I couldn't be more proud. And I just, it's difficult. We don't get to keep working at it, you know, and keep going to practice. We know it's going to be our last game, and you want to win your last one, but only 8 teams get to do that, you know, in the state of Michigan. So I'm just proud of that. Proud of the fact that we got there. I just wish we would have played a better game.
Right. And, Coach, I watched the entire game, and one of the players that jumped off my screen for De La Salle was their quarterback, the Drogosh kid. He's just a junior, but that kid, he's got 4-5 speed. He's got an excellent arm, and he's a kid that started in the finals last year as a sophomore, so he had that experience, and he played really well yesterday.
Yeah, he's a great player. We knew that coming in, and he has some weapons on the edge, you know, and a couple of the receivers, and those are some of the mismatches, you know. I was concerned about heading into that, and, you know, they're a good team, too. They're well-coached. They're going to find those, and they exploited that. And you know what? You know, great football teams make plays. They did. They made a lot of plays yesterday, and, you know, De La Salle is a lot different than us. The amount of resources they have, and being a private school and other, you know, in other areas, it's just – you know, you want to play the best, and we did. We got a chance to play the best, and the matchup just didn't work in our favor. So that's one of those things that you look back and reflect, and, you know, again, our guys were the second-best team in Division II. Unfortunately, we're not state champions, but I'm extremely proud of how far we went, you know, how far we went. And these guys left a legacy. They left their mark, not only on us as coaches, but also on the community, and, you know, the younger kids looking up to them, and teachers and classmates in the school. So I'm just extremely proud of what they represent.
Yeah, no question. We spoke to Harrison Beebe from 7-4 Sports earlier this morning, and he was down at Ford Field for the entire game, of course, and doing his reporting from down there. And, you know, he is an alum of TC Central. So it was really cool to see. He said he saw people from when he graduated with classes and in other classes as well. When you make those deep runs, all of a sudden a lot of the alumni come out and support the team. And that showed yesterday there at Ford Field.
Yeah, it did. And that's a memorable experience for our kids, you know, from the send-off on Thursday, you know, leaving town and with the police escort and the send-off and all the people kind of standing in the rain, cheering us on. That's a neat moment. But just to see the Traverse City Central alum and the Traverse City Central, you know, varsity jackets, old varsity jackets throughout the stadium and people coming out of the woodwork and former players and just alumni, there's a sense of pride in the community's football team. So it was great to bring that back to Traverse City and have that and see that, you know. You know, we're original Traverse City. Obviously, you know, this is, you know, when people talk about Traverse City, they go back to the 80s and when it was one school, you know.
Right.
This is the first time, like, Traverse City Central, you know, since the split has made the state title. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So that's a little different. It is Traverse City, but it's the first time since, you know, that split happened that, you know, we accomplished that from a new aspect of Traverse City Central. It's always been Central, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
But,
oh, absolutely.
And that's a tremendous accomplishment. That's what we told our players. You know, sometimes you're compared to old teams of the past, and that's all right. That's part of the tradition and part of the pride. But what they were able to accomplish is just, it's extraordinary and something they'll never forget. And it stings still this morning, but man, what a run.
Yeah. I mean, coach, again, head coach Eric Shiggers of the TC Central Trojans with us this morning. And coach, when you talk about the one, you know, you go back to the Coach Uli days when there was one school there and they had 3,400 kids there in that one school. And then when you guys divided, I mean, you're sitting there now, Coach, with like 1,400 kids, you know, you have less than half the resources available they did back when it was one school.
Yeah, and that's, you know, there's so much more kids can do. I'm really proud of what we built. You know, and trying to maintain that is going to be a challenge going forward because it's you're dealing with, you know, a different set of resources, but it's still, you know, it's still worthy of that attention, man. And kids still want to be a part of it. Kids still need to be a part of something like a game of football. It just teaches you so much about caring for others and just the team aspect. And that's the great thing about this. It's, you know, our kids, we lost a tough football game yesterday. We lost in the state finals, but you win together and you lose together, and that's just part of it. So there was a lot of hugs, a lot of tears, and a lot of emotion, but that's because these guys committed to the process and they cared deeply. Yeah. For each other and for our program, and that's what I'm most proud of.
Right. Oh, Coach, it showed the emotion that the kids showed after the game. Excuse me. And this game meant something to them. You know, they wanted, like you said, to go out and put their best foot forward. They know that the finality of it, that no matter what, they're not playing, a lot of these seniors are not playing another football game the rest of their lives. And so it just, when you put your heart and soul into something and it's over, all of a sudden it kind of hits you like a brick wall.
It does, and that's a life lesson. You know, sometimes you work extremely hard and you want something to go your way and it doesn't. So then how do you deal with that adversity? How do you deal with, that loss? You know what I mean? To us, we always try to instill the value of it. It's a learning opportunity, It's a learning opportunity to grow, and unfortunately, we don't get to play another game, so that's why it stings a little more this time. So kids learn a lot in that environment. Coaches learn a lot when you suffer setbacks, and it prepares these kids for life because they're going to have setbacks, and how do they deal with those? How do they handle those in those moments?
Exactly, and that's what high school sports is all about. Like you said, Coach, it's life lessons, that's for sure. Coach, I know that you guys were a senior-laden team, a lot of teams are, but you guys, you have some juniors that got a lot of playing time and some kids that are coming up through the rank and file that are pretty good athletes themselves.
Yeah, we had an incredible senior class. These guys left the mark. There's 22 kids that won't be back, and they played a lot of football for us. So it's going to be tough to replace those guys. But yes, the juniors and even the sophomores that came up for the run, and we had a couple freshmen that came up for this run as well.
Oh, wow.
And, they joined us for 5 weeks, and there's a lot of work that gets done in 5 weeks, and those guys got better, and you don't see them, on game day because they do a lot with scout team and they rarely get on the field unless there's an opportunity. But those guys deserve the credit too for all the time and effort they put into helping us get there, because the scout team guys, they help you in your preparation and practice each day. And so I'm excited about that too. I'm excited about the future because those kids just experienced something that hasn't been done,
Right.
So they'll hopefully take that forward and it'll fuel them, on to next season.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Coach Eric Sugars of Traverse City Central Trojans, we appreciate you joining us each and every Saturday all year long. Wish you all the best in the off-season conditioning programs and all of that. But you guys certainly had Northern Michigan proud of you guys.
Well, I appreciate that, guys. And again, I've said all along, thanks for what you do for high school sports and high school football and supporting the Trojan. And I'd love to be able to do this again, but it's all done for now. But I'll end with this. Go Trojans.
Well, all right. Go Trojans. Hey, Coach, we may have you be a guest analyst and talk about some high school basketball every once in a while.
All right. Well, I'll have to get brushed up and talk to our Coach Draper on that.
So. Okay. Sounds good.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Coach. All right, head coach Eric Sugars of TC Central Trojans made it all the way. They had a two-year run. Last year they made it to the semifinals, got beat by the eventual state champs of Muskegon Mona Shores, and this year got beat in the finals against a very good Warren De La Salle team. So tough way to end it. They did lose 41-14. But some amazing kids on that team. And as Coach Sugars talked about, truly an emotional loss. Josh Burnham, the quarterback/linebacker, will be going on to Notre Dame to play next year. But also, he's in the running for some postseason awards here as well. Josh Burnham, he's one of six finalists in the entire country now. The entire country for what's called the Butkus Award, given out to the best high school linebacker in the entire country. Again, one of six finalists is Josh Burnham. And so congratulations to him just getting to that point. just an amazing young man. So, all right, we're going to go to break here. We'll talk about some of the scores that took place yesterday. We'll talk about there's four more games to be played today. One of them started at 10 o'clock, so that's already going right now. Again, all right, welcome back to the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show presented by the Bill Marsh Auto Group on Up North Sports Radio. Rich Calkins here, JJ, the man with the controls today, and JJ and I were talking just off the air a moment ago about if something. I've been watching the high school finals for probably 50 years, again, state finals in football, now down at Ford Field. Used to watch them at the Silver Dome, all of that. But I finally figured out the pattern of which the games are played. Like yesterday's games, the four games played, it was the even day, divisions 2, 4, 6, and 8. And today will be the odd days, divisions 1, 3, 5, and 7. So we were always told there'd be no math involved with a lot of these things, but occasionally you do have to use that math skill. So it did take me, remember, I am a phys ed major, so there's a reason why I did that. But okay, I'm going to go over some of the scores that took place yesterday. Again, each and every score, and maybe talk a little bit about each game. We've talked both to Harrison Beebe of 7-4 Sports, head coach Eric Shiggers of TC Central Trojans, and that's the game that we started with, and that's the game I'm starting with here. Of course, Warren D. LaSalle did win 41-14. Just credit to that De La Salle team. They dominated the entire game, and congratulations on them. To them, they've won three finals, I believe, in the last 5 years. They are like the modern day, I would say, the modern day of what Detroit Catholic Central, Brother Rice, things like that, those historical programs from back in the 60s and 70s and 80s that won championships, it seemed like almost every year. Well, Warren D. LaSalle now, in the last 10 years or so, has kind of taken that that trophy, and they have run with it, and they play in that Catholic League. And, man, I tell you what, they have been an impressive program for quite a few years here now. Now, going to the Division IV game, I talked about it just a little bit with Harrison Beebe, but if you missed that one, that was the last game played last night. Again, ended around 11:15. What an incredible game with Chelsea kicking a 33-yard field goal as time expired to win over Hudsonville Unity Christian 55-52. Again, Unity Christian led by 27 points in the second half. They were dominating that game. But then I tell you what, that Chelsea team did not quit. They forced three or four turnovers in the fourth quarter alone and were able to get in, score, tie the game up, and then created one more turnover and again kicked that 33-yard field goal as time expired. And amazing, a total of 107 points put on the scoreboard. I do believe that is a state finals record. Just an amazing, if you love offense, I tell you what an incredible game that was. Now also, Division VI was played yesterday. That was the antithesis to the 107-point game that was played late in the evening. Lansing Catholic won in this one, in Division VI, 16-6. Over Warren Michigan Collegiate. Low-scoring affair, obviously. This Lansing Catholic team really played great defense through the entire playoff games. That's Chad Patterson and I were talking, of course, the voice of Grayling Viking football and basketball. Him and I were texting back and forth, and he's down in the Lansing area this weekend. But Chad mentioned to me about the defense that Lansing Catholic has played throughout. They basically have given up, what, 6 or 7 points per average throughout their playoff run here. And that's impressive because when you're meeting these teams in the playoffs, you're playing the best of the best. And so Lansing Catholic getting it done in a low-scoring affair again, 16-6. And in Division VIII, we did have a Central Michigan team involved, and that was Beale City. They also had a low-scoring game, but they came up on the short end of the game with Hudson as Hudson won 14-7. Again, a low-scoring affair. Not every game is the same, obviously, but that was a game that absolutely Beal City can be proud of, a one-score game. Again, a Beal City team that continues to make deep playoff runs and has been at the state finals numerous times. And let's go over real quick what's in store today. Division One, the big guys are going at it. At 1 o'clock today, Belleville will take on Rochester Adams. Again, that is in Division One, of course, the biggest division here in the state of Michigan. Those are the big boys going at it. To cap off the night, should be a great one, DeWitt at 12-1 will take on Detroit Martin Luther King. That should be an incredible game. Again, at 7:30 tonight, should be a DeWitt team that beat Traverse City Central in the first game of the season. Very talented team. A game that takes place at 4:30 today, Marine City takes on Grand Rapids Catholic Central. Grand Rapids Catholic Central, they seem like they're 13-0. They seem to be in the finals every single year. A great team again this year. And in Division 7, they're playing right now. An undefeated Lawton team takes on Pawama Westphalia at 13-0 as well. They have already started. They've been playing for about 40 minutes now. This Pawama Westphalia team is a team that knocked out Traverse City St. Francis just last week in a hard-fought game. Okay, we're gonna go to break right now as we're going to have another interview with Cody Mallory, the head coach of the Cadillac Vikings, will be joining us momentarily. We'll talk about how his overall a wrap-up of his season. You're listening to the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show on Up North Sports Radio, presented by the Bill Marsh Auto Group. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back in just a moment.
Up North Sports Radio.
Welcome back to the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show, presented by the Bill Marsh Auto Group on Up North Sports Radio. Rich Calkins here in studio. JJ, the man at the controls today. And joining us now from the Cadillac Vikings is head football coach Cody Mallory. And coach, we just wanted to touch base with you one more time here to kind of go over the entire season and talk about how proud you are of this Cadillac Viking team.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me. I mean, it was another good year for the guys. Came up a little bit short there in the regional finals, but you know, it's been a good 3-year stretch with these guys, and just, you know, hope that we can build this offseason and keep going from here.
Yeah, coach, I mean, you really got to be proud of these young men that you're graduating this year, because a group of kids that you made it all the way to the state finals and battled your hearts out there last year. And then this year, a team that, you know, very proud, ran into a high scoring team in the Hudsonville Unity Christian team. But really a special group of kids you've got there walking the hallways of Cadillac High School.
Yeah, it's a really special group. I think what really stands out is, like, we don't have a lot of guys that are like, like your prototypical huge football guys. Got a bunch of guys that are, you know, average size, average weight. They just work really hard, play really hard. And, and that's what stands out about this senior class. You know, we've got some bigger kids that are getting some more college looks, in our younger grades. But, this group is, it was fun having them around, and they've had quite an impact. And, now it's up for, those juniors and sophomores and freshmen to pick up the torch and continue to build and kind of create their own legacy going forward.
Right. And coach, you guys being the smallest team in the Big North League, you know, a Division IV team where you played Division I, Division II teams, coach, you guys played a tough non-conference schedule as well. Certainly you guys played it this way, especially knowing you might take some losses here or there, but you're really trying to prepare these kids for what was coming on up in the postseason.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, like, in our league, you really can't take a week off. And that's good because it gets our guys prepped up for playoff runs and tight games and all that. And, we were in quite a few tight games this year, and I think it really helped our guys come playoff time, where we ended up getting into a few tight games there, and we're able to, you know, find a way to pull it out at the end. And, you know, we just weren't able to keep up there with Hudsonville Unity. But, you know, I feel like, you know, that aspect of our schedule is pretty important. I think that's, you know, like, the MHSA is going to be considering a all-in format, you know, everybody make the playoff format, which I think I'd be all about that, because then it really allows you to take that a step further and really start to schedule some games without worrying about the, you know, the long-term effects of, like, well, we need to get this amount of wins, or we need to make sure that we beat this team or that team. And it really allows you just to focus on long-term development, play kids maybe in spots where you wouldn't normally play them, and, you know, help them, you know, get a little bit of a baptism under fire kind of deal. And, you know, so I'm hoping that's what the MHSA goes towards, because I really think that's important for the long-term development of our players and our program.
Yeah, for sure, Coach. As Coach Cody Mallory alluded to, there's a discussion, like you said, with the Michigan High School Athletic Association of having all the football teams make the playoffs, similar to what basketball does, and also like reducing the number of regular season games, maybe down to 8, and then but everyone make it in. So if, let's say, if a team loses in their first playoff game, they wouldn't be playing any more extra games per se. They'd still just be playing 9. But it allows everyone to kind of experience that postseason play. And like Coach Mallory just said, there's a lot of positives to that. Now, Coach, I don't know if I know football is your life, but also you have a family and all of that. But did you get a chance to watch the finals game of Chelsea and Unity Christian?
Yeah, I got a chance to watch it. It was pretty exciting game. I mean, you know, I really was pretty heartbroken for the guys from Unity, just the way that game went down at the end with the 2 fumbles late. You know, it's a really high scoring team, and just didn't really put it away there. Didn't take care of the football. I had 3 turnovers, which, you know, we had seen probably, I think I've seen them play in 7 other games this year, and I don't recall a play where they turned the ball over. There were a couple plays where they fumbled it and got back on it, but you know, they hadn't turned the ball over, they hadn't punted all year. And those are things that you know, Chelsea was able to force, and you know, and they were able to keep up doing that. And you know, that was kind of the thought process of going in and playing those guys, is like, you got to see their punt team, you know, and you got to get a turnover, because if you don't, you know, they're going to get their points, and, you know, and then it turns into a shootout, and they've got a lot of weapons. And, you know, Chelsea did a really good job of forcing some errors and then also, you know, putting up a lot of points as well.
Right. Yeah, Coach, that was one of the crazier games I've ever seen in my entire life. I mean, let's be honest. Unity Christian was 1 score away from having it be a running clock in the second half there. I mean, it
exactly.
was, I mean, just unbelievable. And like you said, for Chelsea, it almost looked like some of the Unity Christian kids got a little tired, because a lot of their premier athletes go both ways, play offense, play defense, do all of that. And they didn't execute towards the end of that game. Chelsea capitalized on it, and for them to make that 33-yard field goal as time expired, it was just, what an emotional roller coaster for both teams.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it was, you know, you're really happy for Chelsea and being able to overcome that. And then on the other side, I can't imagine the feeling that those guys had. They ended up making a change at quarterback because they had a running back hurt, and, you know, and then they had a couple of fumbles on the exchange, and that was, you know, to have it go down like that's just, you know, it's not how you want to lose a game.
Yeah, for sure, Coach. Well, Coach, have you taken a few weeks off, or are you guys starting off-season conditioning for your football program already?
I told the guys I really don't. Weight room's going to be open after school, but I don't want to. We're not doing anything organized until after Christmas break. They need the break.
Sure.
A lot of our guys are multi-sport kids too, and especially after how late the season went last year and the quick turnaround. You know, I really want to protect against burnout, and so
We kind of kept the kids away, and you're still doing our like off-season evaluation stuff and like the autopsy of the season and going through all that film and all that. But in terms of like the kids, you know, we're kind of being hands-off and letting them enjoy this time of the year.
Right.
And then once Christmas break closes up, we'll be back on it. And really, you know, most of our kids are already in strength class anyway, so they're getting that year-round stuff. It's just the more specific things we want them working on that aren't going to start to happen until after the break.
Right. No, that's smart, Coach. Again, Coach Cody Mallory from the Cadillac Vikings, head football coach, joining us. And, Coach, absolutely. I mean, you know, people have to remember, because of the COVID issues last year, everything got pushed back. We're playing games into January. And weren't the finals played in late January last year, Coach? Or?
Yeah, I believe our game was January 23rd.
Yeah.
So you're already, you know, in a normal year, it's, you know, we're in the middle of clinic season and coaches are out going and learning. Our kids are in the weight room doing our off season program. And, you know, but then you're ending the season then, and then you want to give them time off after that. It really condensed everything. I think it was hard to refresh as a coach as well, but, you know, we'll take that. I mean, in for a situation like that, it's all right.
Yeah, for sure, Coach. I mean, you're absolutely, because of the physicality, of course, of football, you know, your body needs to regroup. And even though they may be playing another sport, basketball, whatever, then baseball later on, things like that, none of that has the physicality of what football did. And it ran so late. When we refer to last year, it was actually still this year. But you guys, you really have to be proud again of the class that you're graduating right now, Coach. I mean, for them to make it to the finals last year, to make it as far as in a regional finals this year against a very good Unity Christian team. I mean, you guys have to be the utmost proud of these guys.
Oh, I am. They're a good group, and you know, we'll definitely miss them. But you know, we got some guys waiting.
Yep.
Guys waiting for their turn, and you know, and a lot of these freshmen, or I'm sorry, a lot of these seniors, that the guys that are going to be seniors, we had them up for our playoff runs as they, you know, throughout their freshman year, and so
right,
and then on, and so they've got quite a bit of experience coming back, even though we're graduating a lot. There's a lot of guys that have contributed over the past 2 years in that group that's going to be seniors. So you know, we're just excited about all of it. We're excited, you know, and pleased with what the seniors have done, and we're excited for what the future holds as well.
For sure. Coach Cody Mallory, thanks for joining us on the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show. Thanks for joining us all year. Wish you all the best of luck at Cadillac.
Thank you very much. Have a good one.
All right. Thanks. You too. All right. Head Coach Cody Mallory of the Cadillac Vikings joining us today. We have less than a minute to go here as we wrap things up. We do have what's called a hard out today, as the Michigan pregame show will be right here on 101.1, joining at 11 o'clock and at 12 noon, of course, kickoff of the game, Michigan versus Ohio State. And we want to say go blue here today. Hopefully they can beat the Buckeyes, but we'll see what happens here. Thanks for joining us on another Michigan Scoreboard Show. We'll be going to the Michigan pregame show just momentarily. Thanks for joining us. See you next Saturday.
Furnished by the Entertainment Industry Foundation.